today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
So, hey, Jim, I'm thinking about going to Lollapalooza next. So, anyway, do you have the clock and flap?
Should I do it again? All right. Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
So, hey, Jim, I'm thinking about going to Lollapalooza this year. Should I do it?
I guess it comes down to this simple choice, really. Get busy living or get busy dying. So yesterday, Patrick, on the show, we had a call from George Singleton.
Yeah.
And he talked about a festival he went to.
It was great. Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong.
Yeah, where he lives, which is amazing, although he's originally from West Virginia.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. He's talked about this. West Virginia, Hong Kong, it happens.
Same thing.
You know, it's pretty common migration pattern. So he called in and he talked about the festival.
Yeah.
And Clock and Flap, and which is a funny name, but it reminds me of the fact that, you know, the festival scene in the U.S. really exploded with another festival with a funny name, which is Lollapalooza.
Lollapalooza. Right?
Which started early 90s as a touring festival.
91-ish,
Now it's just anchored in Chicago, but back then it kind of really reignited the whole festival craze in the U.S., which
Perry Farrell was the man behind
it. Kind of died after Woodstock and Altamont and the US Festival.
Yeah, the US Festival killed it.
That's right. So anyway, now festivals are just everywhere.
Yeah.
And
they even got them in Hong Kong.
Yes, right. So speaking of Lollapalooza, on Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We had talked about Lollapalooza a while back on another episode, and we just recently got an email. I guess somebody, you know, because you can go into our archives, you can listen to stuff, whatever you want, whatever interests you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find us on iTunes and Spotify and all those places. And we got this email from Travis Johnson.
Yes, we
specifically
did.
About the first Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
Travis is now living in Bethesda. But at the time, he was in Florida, and he tells the story. So you want me to start reading this here? Or maybe we'll have to trade off because it's kind
of
long.
Let's trade off. It definitely feels like an email of which I should read some of the parts.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you let me know when you want to get in this. Okay. So Travis says, "Hi, guys. I somehow just came across the podcast, and I'm cruising through old episodes at work, right down the street in Bethesda, as we mentioned. So I'm listening to the Lollapalooza 1 episode, and I wish I'd been listening to the podcast when this episode came out, because I could have maybe shared my Lollapalooza 1 story about how my best friend basically tried to escape from prison so he could go to the show. We bought our tickets the day they went on sale for the Orlando show, but in the time between buying tickets and the day of the show, my buddy got arrested and locked up in a juvenile detention facility."
Right. I'll pick it up here.
All right.
This is where it comes in and hits home for me. He had a court hearing in town a few days before the show and decided he was going to run out of the courthouse downtown and wanted me to be down there waiting so I could pick him up. I wasn't completely sold on the idea. I wonder why. And I didn't even have a car. This really relates to me because I was 15. My buddy just turned 17, but he's my best friend. And I figured I'd try to make this work if I could. I convinced a friend of ours to drive, and the day comes, and I'm waiting for her to pick me up at my house at whatever time we agreed to, but she was late. She called me to say she was nervous and wanted to back out, but I told her we could just drive down there, that he probably wouldn't even do it. So she agrees, finally comes and picks me up, and we drive downtown toward the courthouse, towards the spot my buddy told me to meet him. As we were driving, we're talking about how crazy this whole plan was and hoping my buddy decides not to go through with it. There were lots of holes in the plan, to say the least, including the fact that he was going to be shackled at the ankles, handcuffed, wearing a bright orange jumpsuit, and was planning to just haul ass out of the courthouse. I had no idea it was going to work, but just in case, I was going to be down there to pick him up if he decided to go through with it.
So we're running behind schedule, and as we're getting close to downtown, we start hearing police sirens. We joke about it being cops chasing our escaping friend, but as we get to the courthouse, it becomes clear that these sirens are indeed cops chasing our escaping friend. So we're scared, S-less, but drive to the meetup spot regardless. As we drive by the bridge of Lions in downtown St. Augustine, Florida, which is about 3/4 of a mile from the courthouse, we see that police have traffic blocked on both sides. We look toward the top of the bridge and see our buddy at the top in his bright orange jumpsuit and shackles. And he's basically surrounded by police with their guns drawn. Needless to say, we just kept driving.
Probably a good decision at that point.
Our buddy got rearrested and ended up getting placed in an adult prison because of the additional charges he earned from his escape attempt. He did not end up going to Lollapalooza 1.
Needless to say.
But I still went with the same girl who drove on escape day, and it was crazy and awesome. Not sure everyone can appreciate or sympathize with that level of dedication to seeing Jane's Addiction and all the other bands on that tour, but that's my Lollapalooza story. Well, one of them. Oh, thank you, Travis.
Oh, my God. We did not make that up, folks. That's a real email that came in to us. The only thing that would have made that better, if it's possible, was that he ended up getting married to the girl.
Yeah, that's right. Of course.
Lollapalooza. That would have been amazing.
Of course.
You know, I love Lollapalooza and live music, but I don't think I would go quite that far. But you figure maybe you could blend in, you know, in an orange jumpsuit with all those people.
Yeah, once you're there, I think you're okay.
Yeah, in the that shackles crowd, might have been a problem.
Nobody would question it.
Right. They think you're dressed like a prisoner.
Well, they probably think you're part of, what was that like touring like circus that went with Lollapalooza?
Oh, yeah, all that? The Jim Rose traveling circus.
There you go.
Yeah.
They just think you're part of that, right?
Right, exactly. Could have got on stage.
Yeah, fine. That's an amazing story. Have you ever... gone to any kind of great lengths to go to a show? I'm not necessarily trying to escape from jail.
No, I never try to escape from custody to go to a show. I've gone to some pretty long lengths to go to shows. I've definitely driven to shows in conditions where I probably shouldn't have driven. You know what I mean? Like the roads were really dangerous and set out to go to a show. I remember once I went to see The Wedding Present in downtown DC, driving in from the suburbs, and spun out a couple of times on ice and, you know, almost wrecked my car, but I made it down to the show.
Wow.
But a lot of times, you know, that would happen in DC because the show would go on because people could walk to it, you know, from in the city or something like that, or get on the metro. But you're having to drive in from the suburbs. That's a totally different proposition.
I'm trying to remember if I've told this story before. I think so. I once almost got in an accident driving back from Black Flag.
I think you did tell this story.
My friend Matt Beakley.
Yes, you did tell this story. Yes. This is a fantastic story.
Yes, it's not really. I would not recommend this.
No, not at all.
To anyone else. But as I remember, we were driving from, the show was in Ann Arbor. It was one of their last shows ever.
Yeah.
The show was in Ann Arbor, and Matt and I went, and on the way, I'm driving my dad's Buick, and on the way back to Toledo, which is like an hour drive,
yeah.
You know, and it's late. We're driving back. We were... I want to say like maybe like 19 years old, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're driving back. And as I mentioned, the Buick, and we hadn't been drinking because it was an all ages show.
Yeah.
We were too young and we
had a long way to go.
Yeah. We knew about that. But we were still just, you know, tired and sort of just, you know, but we had a lot of adrenaline from the show. But anyway,
giddy.
I just remember on a 2-lane road, almost back to his house, and some guy like passed me or something that just made me sort of angry. And I sped up really, you know, as fast as I could get that Buick going. This was back in the days, you know, like the cars were still kind of big, but they had like 4-cylinder engines because they were trying to be more fuel efficient
right.
At this point in the 80s. So they were really weak, you know, cars.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get that thing going. And
it took you a while to wind it up.
Yeah. And so I pulled up next to the guy. So I'm in the lane where you would have oncoming traffic coming mm-hmm. at you because it's a 2-lane road. And I pull up next to the guy, and then my friend Matt sort of like leans out the window and he's like giving him the finger and stuff like that. And we're trying to really go in. And then all of a sudden, like coming like over this hill, there's like a car coming like right at us.
Right.
And so I had to slam on the brakes and then like swerve and then like I ended up like sort of overcorrecting, right? And all, you know, you ever get in one of those situations where you can't get quite control of the car,
steer into the skid.
Oh, and somehow miraculously we did not get in an accident at all, and I was able to get the car under control, and
thank the Lord.
And then we just stopped for a little while, and it was kind of like you know what it felt like? It felt like that scene in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles where they're driving on the wrong side of the road.
You're going the wrong way.
Right.
He says we're going the wrong way.
Oh, he's drunk. How would he know where we're going?
Yeah, how would he know? Thank you. Thanks a lot. Terrific.
Thank you.
What a moron.
That was it. That was it. That's what it felt like. And you just had to stop for a while.
Oh, my God.
And collect yourself.
Yeah.
Where you could continue on the journey. So
thank the Lord.
We were fine. We were fine.
Phew.
But anyway.
I do remember, as you were telling that story, I remember my friend Andy and I once set out to see U2 at the Hampton Coliseum on the Unforgettable Fire Tour. And I think we left here or somewhere with about 4 hours until showtime, and it's about a 3.5 hour drive. But we made it, and one reason we really wanted to go because Lone Justice was opening up.
Oh, yeah.
And
we
had a super big crush on Marie McKee. So both of us.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So we did it, and we saw the Unforgettable Fire Tour. It was kind of cool.
Oh, that's a
good one.
That
would have
been great. Mm-hmm. That would have been great. So
that was the only time I saw you too, actually.
Well, I think you picked a good time.
Yeah.
That was...
Yeah, I like that album.
That was sort of peak you too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they were great. They did Bad and all those cool songs. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I went back recently and watched on YouTube U2 at Live Aid. I was kind of on this Live Aid kick.
Interesting.
After the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, because they sort of recreate the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And Queen had... That was such a big thing at Live Aid, how great their set was.
Yeah.
And so then I was remembering, like, well, there were some other bands that really, like, sort of blew the crowd away. And I remembered that U2 was one of them. And I went back and I watched that. You can find a lot of that stuff on YouTube. And it was really great. And Bad was one of the songs they did. And it was really kind of amazing.
That was a powerful thing they did.
They were
live.
Right at that cusp of just exploding at that point.
Before they came to this mega. Right? Yeah.
Get out of here.
Okay,
that was
cool.
Fun. That was an incredible story. That was a crazy story.
We do not endorse that kind of behavior, but we love that Travis shared it with us. We don't endorse it as far as you know.
That's an amazing story. And if anybody else has stories to share, they can do that. You can email rock@suburbspod.com or you can call and leave a message 612-440-1984. Or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. All of those at Suburbs Pod.
Please. And there's another good reason to call the Suburban Party line right now, because if you do and you talk about your favorite album from 2018, you will get a prize, one of our custom mixtapes. I think anyone who got one last year knows how special that is. Probably still playing it through the end of this year, but we got a new edition coming up.
We do.
Last year's was called Crank It. I don't know if we're going to.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Maybe Crank It too.
Yeah.
If it's possible. Electric Boogaloo.
Yes, of course. Yes, Crank It to the Revenge.
There you go.
So I've already started compiling.
Oh, good.
My side.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. You know, it's a process, and I'm not locking anything in just yet. But it's fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah,
I enjoy it very much.
You know, it's interesting because I've been doing for for several years now, a year in compilation, but I don't limit myself to 2018 songs. So this one is strictly songs that came out in 2018 that's from us. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a lot of show tunes.
Yeah. That's right. What was it? Hooked on Trombones that you picked up?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. I got that. Oh, yeah. I got some
spectacular.
I got some bagpipes in there. All kinds of stuff.
It was a good year for bagpipes, 2018. A lot of people don't realize that.
Bagpipes took off.
Yeah.
They're bagpipe big. Renaissance. Okay. Let's get out of here.
Please.
We're going to come back tomorrow with more fan mail.
Fan mail.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
That he was going to be shackled at the ankles, handcuffed, wearing a bright orange jumpsuit, and was planning to just haul ass out of the courthouse.